please introduce yourself.
My name is Kate Sheets. I'm an organizer and educator with Justicia for Migrant Workers, and I'm also currently doing finishing my master's degree at York University in psychology.
What brings you to this event?
Well, I was helping to organize this event. I've been living in Virgil this summer, doing some research for my master's degree and some organizing work with Justicia, with migrant workers, specifically around mental health and focusing mainly on women.
Can you talk about this event and what exactly it is?
Yeah, so this is an event. It's kind of a combination of things. The overall theme is health. So it's Health Day, and also it's the open house for the UFCW Support Center that's located here in Virgil. And so we've brought together a pretty wide range of people interested and in health and who offer services in health. So, for example, the occupational health nurses and doctors. I'm here. There's a workshop about safe workplaces in terms of kind of sexual harassment and things like that.
What other workshops are being held today?
I think there's a workshop about sexual health. There's a workshop about sexual harassment in the workplace. A workshop about occupational health and rights in the workplace, I believe. That's just a
sampling workshop.
Yeah, so a variety of different people and organizations are here today to consult with people and to offer information and services.
So how did the organizing of this event come about?
Well, a bunch of us who have been involved in this community and community members themselves have all kind of identified a serious lack of accessibility to health services, despite the fact that migrant workers are covered in Ontario are covered under OHIP, or elsewhere in Canada are covered under whatever the provincial health insurance plan is. So despite this coverage and entitlement to health services, there tend to be a number of really significant barriers to accessing health care.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feedback have you been receiving from migrant workers?
At this event specifically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's been a huge turnout and people seem happy to be here. There are lots of people consulting especially with the occupational health nurse that's here. And I think, generally speaking, whenever we hold events, or even if it's just a single workshop, people often express just being happy to kind of have an opportunity to come together and meet people that are working on different farms. They're often, that tends to be, a pretty prevalent sentiment. But I think with health specifically, there's a huge need for concrete services and information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, unfortunately, one of the problems is that, we can give out lots of information, but it doesn't necessarily change the situation in terms of accessibility. So that's one of the major barriers, I think, that we face.
And what kind of feedback have you been receiving from the migrant worker advocates who are citizens here helping out migrant workers?
Personally, I haven't really received any feedback.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's
so.
What are some common health problems experienced by migrant workers in Canada?
I'm probably not the best person to ask about specific health problems. I mean, I think in terms of, there are tons of occupational health issues, there's lots of literature on agricultural work is one of the most dangerous jobs that exists, so there are tons of occupational health concerns. But also, for me, the kinds of issues that I've been really interested in and that have been coming up, especially in my work with women, have been sexual and reproductive health issues, which are pretty huge. And again, it's one of these issues where, in fact, I think that women have a pretty high level of education about the kinds of things they should be looking out for and even how to protect themselves from things like STIs and so on, but aren't able to access either the resources that they need, like condoms or birth control or testing for STIs and things like that. So that's a really serious problem. Another thing to do with reproductive health has to do with pregnancies, because women aren't able generally to access contraception. There is a pretty high rate of, speaking kind of anecdotally, there are a number of pregnancies every year, and women feel like they have to keep them secret because women have been repatriated for getting pregnant while in Canada, especially if it's a high-risk pregnancy. So that causes all kinds of problems because women are working without receiving the proper prenatal care that they need and may also be involved in tasks in their job that are precarious to the pregnancy and to their own health, especially if they're working with pesticides or other chemicals and stuff like that. They're also very, very difficult to access abortions in Canada for migrant women, even though they're entitled to these services. So we do know of women who are taking a drug called misoprostol to miscarry, which when that's done kind of unsupervised by medical professionals is very dangerous to a woman's health and may not even be successful and then cause further difficulties in the pregnancy.
In your work, have you worked with a lot of living caregivers? I know most of them are women.
Yeah, I haven't personally. I've been mostly involved in the agricultural workers community.
Can you talk a bit about what kind of health services are offered to migrant workers and people of non-status or with precarious status in Canada?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that in urban areas, there are community kind of like community health centers that are specifically target undocumented people who are undocumented or migrant workers, like women who come on the live-in caregiver program. But in rural areas, there are tend not to be any services that are specifically directed towards migrant workers, particularly around health.
Yeah, there's none in Guelph, except there's a small group of people who are starting something, but...
So that's a huge problem. And services that are agencies that are typically... services that are typically extended to new immigrants or to refugees, like settlement services, counseling, free ESL classes, those kinds of services are not extended to migrant workers. They don't qualify for these programs. So,
based on your experience and knowledge, what are the most important issues facing migrant workers currently?
I think one of the biggest concerns has to do with a lack of appeal mechanisms available to migrant workers, which makes their status totally vulnerable, precarious in Canada, because if they can basically be fired, repatriated, or barred from the program for any reason, and there's no access to an appeal mechanism to appeal that kind of decision, which obviously could have a huge impact on somebody's life. So that makes people's position in the program so vulnerable to the point where health kind of takes a back seat to the other kinds of concerns, like keeping your place in the program. So people are generally or often scared to stand up for their rights if they know what they are. And that's one of the main reasons people aren't able to access services, because they are too afraid to take time off or aren't allowed to take time off or can't have access to their health card because the employer is holding on to it, and they're too intimidated by the employer to go through them and have to justify their reasons, especially I think for women who, if they have any sexual or reproductive health concerns, that's a very intimidating situation to go to your generally male employer and have to explain what your situation is.
What are essential steps that can be taken to remedy these issues?
Well, I think, again, this issue of appeal mechanisms, I think something like that needs to be put into place, something that where it's really kind of a transparent system, because I can also imagine putting appeal mechanisms into place that aren't actually working. So I think it's really important that get done in a way that's transparent and where there's accountability and clear responsibility. I think the Canadian government really needs to be held accountable in this program, because generally it falls to the consulates of the participating countries to take responsibility, and they're in a pretty awkward position themselves, where they're having to kind of fight for their country's place in the program and defend their place in the program, which is so important to, you know, revenue in their country. And I think that the Canadian government really tends to get off kind of scot-free.
What are some practical actions that Canadian citizens can undertake in order to help remedy these issues?
That's a good question. I think there is a serious lack of awareness of these issues in the first place. But it's especially interesting considering the local food movement in Canada, where people feel like they're doing something ethical by eating local or consuming local food and other local products. And that, not to say that it's not a good thing to do, but that the conditions under which this food or these products are created are generally not known. And I think, so awareness is a big thing, but I think that there does need to be action from Canadian citizens demanding, I think, kind of taking a political stance and saying that these kinds of situations will not be tolerated, and that we want ethical, you know, our food to be produced ethically. And and I think it also has to do with the government supporting agriculture in a way that is sustainable and that doesn't involve subsidizing the agricultural industry with human bodies instead of dollars or other means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a step to getting them to think about taking a stand and how they can take a stand. So what about the argument that migrant workers and non-status peoples do not pay for healthcare benefits and thus should not receive them?
Well, I think that's not actually true. Migrant workers pay taxes like anybody else in Canada. Taxes are taken off of their wages just like any other person who's working in Canada. And so they are contributing, and in fact they've been contributing for over 40 years now and accessing nowhere close to their fair share of services, and especially around health. So it's actually kind of really been beneficial for the Canadian government to have people paying all these taxes and not accessing the services that kind of that these taxes are paying for.
What other barriers are there for migrant workers to maintaining good health for themselves?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of barriers in terms of mental health. I mean, obviously, just the separation from communities, from families, particularly for women. Mexican women, in order to qualify for the program, generally speaking, are required to be single mothers. And so, of course, they're not allowed to bring their children with them and then have to find somebody to take care of their children while they're in Canada for up to 8 months of the year. And so I think these kinds of separations are very difficult. I think people, you know, kind of transnational parenting is characterized by a lot of profound worry and stress about whether kids are being taken care of properly at home, particularly for women who are leaving their kids with other relatives or maybe not people who are not even relatives, and issues of trust come up. I think also the tensions that arise between workers themselves because of the stressful conditions that they're under, and they're living with the same people and working with the same people under really stressful and cramped conditions with little to no privacy whatsoever. And that can cause a great deal of interpersonal tension, including rivalry, due to the competitive nature of the program.